The second round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is that it's free to play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and search the whole wide variety of free contests and an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot. Add up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Now, not that I agree with the NHL starting up round two before round one's finished, but wow, who expected Montreal to push things this far? What's going on? Cody Jansen, Adam Ermatrout with you here at the World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Now open Edmonton, Alberta on St. Albert Trail, Northwest. Go check them out today, 7 days a week. Visit them, exceptional customer service, or check them out online, lordco.com. We got a game going on right now. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, sorry, too bad. Colorado's up 2-0 on Vegas. Earlier today, Tampa beats Carolina 2-1. That's game one. That Central Division final. Big show lined up. World Hockey Parts Center by Lordco Auto Parts. Cody Jansen, Adam Ermatrout with you. Michael DeStefano hopping on here right away to talk Leafs, and it's Daniel Friedman to talk Isles, and Shukri Wrights coming on later up. Boston sports personality. Let's talk Bruins. Wow, they packed the barn. The garden was rocking. So yeah, we are going to talk about that one. Adam, you want to kick it off with your buddy from out east or what?
Yeah, we're joined by Michael DeStefano from Overdrive. You might know him better as Al's brother, but check him out on Twitter, Mickey_Canuck. He had a tweet yesterday. He goes, "For the first time in this series, I have doubt." Host of Locked on Leafs podcast. Michael, give us a synopsis of these last two losses here.
Yeah, they've been pretty brutal. I mean, turnovers. You think the Galchenyuk goal off a turnover the other way, 2-0, and then last night, Dermott gives the puck up. Look, guys, it's like my tweet said, for the first time I have doubt. I think I fired that out after the 2-0 goal, and they were able to come back and tie the game and kind of give me a little bit more to believe in. And then, you know, Leafsy fashion, of course, end up losing. And I can't believe this is going to seven. I was more convinced that this was going to be a sweep than it would possibly be a 7-game series. But man, Toronto, I don't know what's going on with them, but just not playing their best hockey. That top line just needs to get going. But tomorrow's going to be it's going to be an important one, that's for sure.
Now, Mikey, do you have confidence in Jack Campbell? I know it'd sound asinine to suggest starting Freddie Anderson in this game, but I mean, do you think that Jack Campbell has enough to win a game seven in the NHL against Montreal, a team who's buzzing?
100% confidence in Jack Campbell. Like, he's been phenomenal so far through these playoffs. And don't forget that Fred Anderson has never won a game seven before in his career. I believe it's 0-8 in game seven. So if I got to go between the two, I'm going to go with the goalie that A has been playing over the course of the last couple of months and has definitely given the Leafs the best chance to win when he's in the crease. So I think he could do it. It's not really Jack Campbell that's been a problem. Like, even look at yesterday's game, you know, he was standing on his head, keeping them in it. It was just the offense needs to wake up, and especially that top line. But when it comes to the crease, surprisingly, I have no worries about that, which is brand new in Leafland, that's for sure.
You've mentioned the top line a couple times, and I kind of went at them on Twitter saying that if Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner were having, or if William Nylander was playing as bad as Matthews and Marner right now, he'd be on the next flight out of Toronto. So how much of, let's say they were to lose tomorrow, how much of that would fall on Matthews and Marner?
A lot. You know, I not as much Matthews, but for me, Marner has been just dreadful considering all things considered. But like between the two of them, just one goal, considering that they make up to $20 million between them, like that's just inexcusable. I think Matthews' shooting percentage is up under 5%. I think it's like 4.something%. But those two legitimately were just unstoppable through the regular season. And for whatever reason, the playoff has hit, the ice has been taken away from them, and they haven't been able to adjust. More so Marner, I would say, than Matthews. He's been just a little bit unlucky. But as far as the play goes for Mitch, he's, I don't know what it is. It's just, he's not looking as dominant as we've seen him play and as dominant as he looks in the regular season. I'm, again, at a loss for words as to why it is, but it just seems like the ice is hard to get out in the NHL in the playoffs, and I feel like that's really been the biggest issue for him. He's just trying to adjust, and it hasn't happened yet.
Now, Leafs fans probably won't like this, so maybe just hit mute, take out your headphones, do what you gotta do. But if they lose tomorrow, is Kyle Dubas on the hot seat? Who has to take the brunt of this, and who has to go? What's the change that has to happen?
Oh, man, I didn't even want to think about this, but like I had Brian Hayes on my show and I asked him like the very question at the start of the playoffs that if whatever happens, let's say Montreal upsets him and eliminates him, do we see massive change? And we both kind of said, no, I don't think so. But now that it's like to the brink and we're sitting here coming on to game seven, man, I don't know. I don't think this would be Dubas. I don't think Dubas is going to be let go. I think he's done a pretty good job setting this team up. And they have an opportunity to do something, even not if it doesn't happen this year in the future. But I could see something changing. I don't know if that's maybe. I mean, Marner would be a tough guy to move, but this would be three playoffs in a row where he's been awful. So I don't know if that would be considered like as sizable move as they'd be willing to go. But I could see something happening for sure.
All right, last one here. I want your Al's Brothers power rankings of your final four teams you think get to the conference finals here.
The conference finals. Okay, so I still think Toronto's going to pull it out. Like, I think they'll end up going in there tomorrow night, and they'll remember that they are the Maple Leafs, and they'll end up winning it and then going into Winnipeg and get the W there. So I see Toronto still coming out of the north.
You're from Ontario, hey?
I am, yeah. I'm from Ontario, but I still I wouldn't consider myself a homer. So,
okay.
I mean, they finished first in the division. They beat Winnipeg multiple times this year, beat them in the series. So I could see them doing it. And then who do you got? I believe it'll end up being Tampa coming out of the Central Division. I think they won today's game 2-1. That's going to be a good series. I think that Carolina will definitely give them a go. But at the end of the day, I think Tampa's just too deep. And Vasilevsky is an absolute beast. So I think they'll be able to pull through. I got Colorado coming out of the West side there. I think Colorado will be able to beat Vegas and end up winning it. And I got Boston coming out. And Boston, I think, I mean, they just absolutely rolled on New York. But those are the four teams that I had coming out at the start of the playoffs, and I haven't wavered on any of them. So Boston, Colorado, Tampa, Toronto, those are my final four.
I like it. All right. You can see his Al's Brothers power rankings Mondays on Overdrive. Listen to them. Locked On Leafs. Mikey, thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Anytime.
Right there, Mikey DiStefano. Hopping on the show to talk Leafs, Canadians. We're going to get to that, but Adam, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. We got to bench someone today, and we got to do it ASAP as possible.
The same thing every week, man.
But this is a new one. I've got a whole new beef here. I mean, you know, it's for our friends at Quack Stats, most advanced player tracking technology. Follow them on Twitter at Quack_stats. But, and I'm going to cut you off here because I'm benching the Ontario government before you can. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to bench them. You're not allowed to bench them. I get to, because how do we not have fans in Toronto, but we get them in Montreal when it's not even fully vaccinated healthcare workers? It's whoever's got a couple of grand. It's asinine. It's insane. And it's honestly pathetic right now. Like that's the word that comes to mind. It's pathetic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to go one step further, like for them not to be allowing fully vaccinated healthcare workers into games, like we got buddies coming back from the States that are have been fully vaccinated for 2 months and they're sitting in their basement quarantining. So I think it's all ridiculous. And if vaccines are what ends this thing and gets it back to normal, then I don't understand how fully vaccinated people cannot be let in. So, you know, I think that's the only person you really can bench this week.
Well, that's the ethical debate here. I mean, I think we've both got jabs in our arms so we can talk about it. But if getting vaccinated doesn't allow us to at least get back to somewhat normal, what are we doing here?
Why we'll have to have Justin on our podcast and ask him.
Yeah, okay. We'll leave it at that. We'll get a prime minister or a premier on the show and then we'll move forward.
Kick rocks.
Pounce and kick rocks, same thing. Okay, though, game 7, Leafs Habs. I mean, I want to know your thoughts on it, unless you want to break down any of Mikey's answers. I think he was real straightforward. I think Dubas is going to be on the hot seat. That's why I did ask that one, because if they don't make it past, what do you change? You've tried almost everything in Toronto right now, and you can just use the Oilers' excuse of, hey, it's experience. But there comes a point in time where you got to win a damn hockey game.
Yeah, no, and I mean, they learn lessons every year, but until you do something with them, it is what it is. But
okay, Dave,
his point about Marner was really good, because I mean, he's got, I think, 4 points. He hasn't scored a playoff goal in like 17 games, and just looking at his kind of patient approach where he kind of delays a lot, stops up at the blue line a lot, you know. And yesterday he takes a delay of game penalty when you're already shorthanded. Like there's really no excuse for that. And I mean, is he going to go do the dirty work in the corners? No. Does he look a little tentative to me? Yeah. And for Montreal, they got those 4 massive guys on the back end, Edmondson, Chiarot, Weber, Petrie, who all played like 30 minutes yesterday. So I think it's difficult for him to really get out of this unscathed, if you will. And for the Leafs, it honestly would almost be sad. Like your 3 or 4 best players are better than anybody on Montreal, like even close, right? Like Nylander would be their best player by miles. And even for Dubas, like I honestly don't know what else he could do. Like he got in a lot of shit because he was Mr. Analytics, who is 5'9", this and that. And now he goes and gets Nick Foligno and Jake Muzzin and Wayne Simmonds. And I really don't have an answer on why this wouldn't work for the Leafs. And you can throw the Tavares injury stuff out the window. Yeah, it sucks he's out, but you're still better than Montreal.
I totally forgot about Tavares, honestly. I mean, that's kind of just how my brain is. One of the guys who I was actually impressed with, and maybe it's because he doesn't play much, and when he does, he stands out, but honestly, Zach Bogosian. Yeah. I really think that he's the type of defenseman that you can win with in playoffs. And you bring up Montreal's big 4 on the back end. I feel like that's what's making the difference. Nonetheless, I mean, Petrie deflected both goals into his own net yesterday. Without those, I think, you know, Montreal's coming into this with a lot more confidence. That game did not deserve to go to overtime. Carey Price was phenomenal, yes. But again, the Leafs didn't score their goals. They were tipped in by Habs players.
Yeah,
give me a score for game 7.
Don't do this. Montreal 4-2.
They get the puck line?
Yeah, Montreal. It's just like, look, I honestly kind of want the Leafs to do well just because it's good for hockey. And I mean, I think they've done everything right for a guy like Nick Foligno, Thornton, and Jason Spezza, who's like their best player at this point. I want to see them do well, but it's just classic Leafs. I was texting a buddy yesterday, and the shots were like 11-1 in overtime. And I was like, they're going to lose this on some sort of a deflection or a tip-in. And sure enough, that's what happened. So it's either going to be like 6-0 Leafs or 4-2 Montreal. Those are my 2 scores.
I almost did a Michael Scott spit take when you said 4-2. Okay, how about those saves in overtime, though? I hate to go back to the game after I just told you to wrap it up. But Carey Price looked... We can't do anything. We can't do anything here. But how calm did Carey Price look in overtime making those saves? That's unbelievable, dude. Those saves are like they're not easy at all. Any goalie struggling to just get a piece of them, he made them look so calm.
Yeah, and to look at the other end, the goal that Toronto challenged where Jack Campbell slid 10 feet out of his net, and then they're like, oh, he didn't have a chance to get back. Like, Price, it's incredible. And I mean, the numbers are what they are, and he hasn't been good for a couple of years, but this is kind of the reason everybody says if there's one guy who I could take, it'd probably be Carey Price, because he's just so calm back there. And when he's on their game, I honestly don't think that you can pick anyone else.
3-0 halves. In Carey Price's 31, I'm going off this memory by your stat by memory here. 31 elimination games he's been in, he has a 9.29 save percentage in those games. That's just ridiculous. I mean, if you can count on Mr. Consistent to do that in elimination games, you are set. I don't even want to talk about the Avs Vegas. I mean, the Avs are just steamrolling them. Fleury, you know, gets his, what do they call it in basketball when LeBron sits him?
Load management
for Fleury.
Yeah. I don't get that at all. They're like, yeah, he needs rest. It's the playoffs. Nobody's ever won with a two goalie tandem. I know when he was on Pittsburgh, but that was because the other guy was hurt. But you go to your guy and you stick with him. Game one of a series, you go to him. Like, it doesn't make sense. And for Robin Leonard, when's the last time you played a game? A month ago, and he looks a little bigger right now. So, I mean, yeah. And like we said with Montreal and Toronto, Colorado's best players are probably, they have three players before you'd pick anyone on Vegas.
We don't fat shame on this show. Also, no. just to throw that out there, we would never do that. Okay, Carolina-Tampa earlier today. I saw Rod the Bod was talking to the media after. I have to assume he was complaining about refs, because what else would he be talking about? But again, I mean, Vasilevsky was phenomenal. Everyone knows he's going to be leaky in the first round. He's going to take a while to get it together. But once he does, you don't want to face him.
Yeah, and that winning goal, it sucks to go. And I was watching with a goalie friend of mine, and he said, watch, he missed his post. When you're sliding back, he wasn't on his post. And sure enough, that's what happens. I thought Carolina was a better team. And like, we talk about Carey Price, like he's the best, but Vasilevsky, I mean, you'd have a hard time picking against him. And it's pretty clear he's the best goalie in the league consistently, right? Like the last couple years, he's been awesome. And, you know, shout out to Sasky guy, Luke Shen. I got to give a shout out there for his steady game back on the back end. And for Carolina, I honestly thought they played well. It's just they didn't win the game, and it's a 1-1 playoff style hockey game, and their goalie loses his net. That's really all there is to say.
You said go with Mrazek. Are you serious? Would you go with Mrazek? I'm being honest here, because I think it's a legitimate conversation to have. Would you switch it up, give Nedeljkovic a load management game off, and say, hey, Mrazek, your net, run with it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, like, is Nedeljkovic isn't like their true number one, I guess, if I can say it right. But just Mrazek was hurt all year, and he actually played pretty well when he did play. But it's kind of that one bad goal in the playoffs, and you're kind of questioning your decision. So if they went to Mrazek, I don't think anybody would go super crazy about it either way. It's not like Nedeljkovic is Henrik Lundqvist in net, and he's been there for a long time. He's put on waivers this year, so the margin of error is so slim, and for him to allow that goal, I wouldn't be shocked, I don't think.
Was that a jab at Canes fans saying they won't go crazy because there's not that many of them, or what?
Well, I mean, they're the only ones who actually has fans at their game right now, so.
There's a lot of good atmospheres, and hey, we're going to talk Isles with Daniel Friedman after this, but I mean, there's been some good ones. I liked Boston the other night, although the games overlapped. I didn't watch the full game, but I caught enough of it to know that, hey, the Isles, they're going to have to put in some serious work if they want to win that series.
I'm kind of confused on because Vegas is going to go to 100% for game three. So does that mean they're putting the plexiglass back behind the benches, or are people going to be able to are they going to be able to like touch Peter DeBoer just because they're in the front row? Are they going to be like 99.99%?
They have to block off. Is it 10 feet? 10 feet of seats or something like that. I don't know the actual specifics. I read it somewhere. I don't actually think that they're like putting the glass back up though. They still have to, it's not 100%. It's just every seat gets sold.
The only thing I want brought back is those damn playoff logos, because it looks like you're watching a preseason game on the ice right now. You need the Stanley Cup playoff logos.
Yeah, you were crying about that every single rink picture we saw before the playoffs.
Well, and on Sportsnet,
I
agree. They don't
I miss it. It does look different without it. When you look back, that's a huge part of it. I don't know why the NHL would change. It's kind of a piss off, but we got to head out to commercial break here. It's Cody Jansen and Adam Ehrmantraut with you, World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Daniel Freeman, writer for Isles Blog, coming up after the break right here on 12 Ounce Sports. Round two. Yeah, it kicked off yesterday. Bruins beat the Isles in game number one. We're going to dive into that. What's going on? Cody Jansen and Adam Ehrmantraut with you here. World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts, the one-stop shop for quality RV, car, truck, or marine parts and accessories. We're going to bring on our good friend Daniel Freedman for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, family-owned Canadian company, changing the hockey stick game. Pro Rock, top-line twig, fraction of the cost, not even close. We'll never go back to one of the big companies. Lighter, more balanced, and at the best price point, Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Go check them out today, prorock.com. It's Dan Freedman coming to us, writer for Isles Blog. Now, as much as I want to recap that game, the one spot that sticks out to me is Sorokin. And yes, he made some good saves. I also feel like there's still some lack of confidence in Islanders Nation. Do you go back to him? Do you give Varlamov a chance and say, hey, maybe you can figure out the Bruins here for us? What's your thoughts on the goaltending situation right now?
Well, first, thanks for having me. It's great to be back on. In terms of the goaltending, I go back to Sorokin. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Varlamov is still kind of a guy, but I mean, I think for, you know, all intents and purposes right now, they're riding the hot hand. Which they have done at different points this over the regular season, the Islanders. But I think Sorokin was really good last night. You know, it may not have looked it on the scoreboard, but, I mean, he really kept them, you know, to the best of his ability. I mean, he kept them in that game. It could have been 8-1 at some point. I mean, he made fantastic saves, and I think even, you know, the NBC commentators were marveling at some of the saves that he made. So, you know, I go back to him. You know, I think if he, you know, if the Island, even if it's not his fault, if the Islanders, you know, they come out and they have another rough game next game, maybe you go to Varlamov just for the sake of just changing it up and shaking up the lineup and not even a knock on Sorokin. But, you know, if I were the Islanders, I'd go back to Sorokin.
Daniel, the Islanders' best player, I think, clearly is Matt Barzal, but he really hasn't had a good playoffs. Do you think it's him not playing well, or do you think it's other teams just, you know, kind of selling out on stopping him, like we saw up here in Edmonton with McDavid and Draisaitl? But what are your thoughts there in his series so far?
Well, he's had a very disappointing playoffs. I mean, I think, to be honest, it's part his line mates, but I mean, with a player like that, you can really only blame the line mates so much. And, you know, and I said this last night, you know, the truth is Matt Barzal has to figure out what kind of player he wants to be. Does he want to be a franchise player, the kind of guy that makes players around him better, the kind of guy that can carry a team on his shoulders, or is he just going to be a highlight machine? You know, because I mean, he's a really good player. He's a really talented player. We all know what he's capable of. But at some point, he needs to take that next step and either be the guy, or, you know, if he's not going to be the guy, then maybe at some point the Islanders need to take a long look and figure out, okay, well, maybe we need to make some moves and maybe move him for someone who's going to be the guy. You know, there are a lot of teams out there that would want Matt Barzal, who might be willing to give up someone who's of similar value, who maybe is a better fit. You know, I think it's a little early to, you know, for that kind of thing, but you know, I mean, unless he proves otherwise, I mean, right now, to me, he just looks like, I mean, he looks lost. He looks like he's trying to be way too fancy at times. You know, I understand he's playing real Komarov right now. And that's, you know, obviously, I think the Islanders are at a bit of a loss because they're down a lot. They're down. Their depth is not terrific. They're down Lee. They're down Wahlstrom. So, I mean, the options are limited, right? And you can't just put everyone on the top line and have no depth on the other line. So, like, it's not so simple, you know. But at the same time, like I said, I mean, we saw John Tavares for years lift guys on his shoulders and make them better, make his line mates better. And Matt Barzal's got to figure out if he's going to be that player or not.
Well, you already went off on Komarov there, and that was going to be my next one. But I also want to get your opinion, too, on just this team and this general roster right now. Obviously, they had Palmieri, Zajac, who, if not Barzal, if not Sorokin, is going to carry this team past an actual legitimate Stanley Cup contender like the Boston Bruins. Who has the opportunity to be a difference maker? Is it a Jordan Eberle or what? Like, who can play hero on this roster right now?
Well, I think we all know Jordan Eberle is a clutch player. Anthony Beauvillier, I think, has proven to be a very clutch player. Josh Bailey has been very good at times. But listen, the Islanders are going to beat a team like the Bruins, you know, by committee. And it's either going to be by committee or it's going to be because Ilya Sorokin steals the show, you know, or Varlamov or whoever their goalie ends up being by the time the series is over, right? I think that is really the only way they beat the Bruins. The Bruins are simply deeper, they're more reliable, they're more well-rounded. I think they're just an amazing team, and you know the Islanders are going to be hard-pressed to beat them.
I don't want to place the blame on anybody on the Islanders here. I know that they've had some playoff success, but do you think that there's just something kind of off with this team, that they're good, but like they're just not good enough? And I don't know who that's on. I mean, the first for Palmieri and Zajac, I don't think has really done much for them. Just what are your thoughts on the Islanders overall? And if you guys, like Islanders fans, are going to get sick of guys just like playoff success, kind of Minnesota Wild-esque, if you will.
I think it really depends on what you're expecting the Islanders to be this year. I mean, there are a lot of people who, you know, maybe a lot of fans who expected this team to win a Stanley Cup or compete for a Stanley Cup this year, and I honestly didn't. I don't think this is the finished product, and it better not be the finished product because they're not ready to win a Stanley Cup. But I think, you know, more or less for me, what I'm seeing is kind of in line, other than Barzal really like just being invisible, you know, this is kind of what I expected. I don't think they're there yet. I think, you know, like certain young guys have other gears to get to. Like Oliver Wahlstrom, I think, is going to be, you know, a really good sniper, and that kind of solves the winger depth, you know, issue to an extent, right? Noah Dobson is still coming into his own, and I think that, you know, is going to resolve a lot of defensive issues. Not that there are that many to begin with, but I think they'll be even better. You know, Ilya Sorokin obviously is going to get better with time, and as he takes over, eventually he'll be the guy. You know, they'll win more games. You know, they're going to have to be creative with the salary cap and figure out a way to add some depth. So, I mean, this is not the finished product. If you're looking at this as if it's the finished product, then I think you're mistaken. So, I mean, in that case, you'd be disappointed. But again, I think that's a mistake.
Daniel, you're the man. Appreciate you hopping on. Everybody, be sure to go check out his work at Isles Blog. Thank you so much for making time today.
No, thanks for having me again. Enjoy the playoffs.
Appreciate you, Daniel Friedman, hopping on the show here for our friends at Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Man, Graves just lowered the boom on Janmark there. I don't know if you saw that hit on TV, Adam, but holy, Janmark's leaving. We hope he is all right. Hey, Trout, how's the golf game going right now? I see you're swinging the sticks a little bit.
Not good. I lost I honestly, like, I have the yips or something because I was playing pretty well early in the year. Rounds like three to eight were pretty good, but the last three, I'm starting to pull the ball. I haven't played great. Lost money yesterday in a scramble. It was a ridiculous weather, but need to figure it out. But shout out to Player Athletics. Use our code WorldHockeyRPT for 20% off your player order. Also, get in on the WHROT challenge. And a little tip for you guys out there. I mean, picking the most obvious guy to score usually isn't how you win these things. You know, every time I see it, like, it's, oh yeah, I think Matthews and Caulfield. And the last two games, I mean, nobody picks Suzuki or Kotkaniemi. So I think that there's some interesting things. Maybe we need better picks from our followers. So shout out to Player Golf, and let's keep going on the OT challenge.
So basically, Adam's just saying pick better. But also, you know, as soon as you tell people, hey, don't pick the stars, it's going to be the stars who start scoring in overtime. You're going to get Matthews game 7 OT hero. Okay, let's talk a little bit. I mean, I appreciate Dan Freeman hopping on here to talk about the goaltending. In your opinion, yes, Sorokin was fine, but this team needs more. You need that step above. Sure, Sorokin made some good saves. I think you need a next level goaltending. You need someone who can steal you games. I think Varlamov has that in him. Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Varlamov has it in him. It's been good experience for Sorokin, but now you got to win hockey games.
Yeah, I don't really know if it's goaltending as much as they're just not good enough. And I mean, he kind of said that this isn't the final product, but I'm kind of confused about what they're trying to be, you know? Like, I get Anders Lee's hurt, but they traded a one for Kyle Palmieri. If this isn't the finished product or close to, you're not trading first round picks if you don't think you can really go on a run here. And for the island, he mentioned Oliver Wahlstrom, who's like fine, but it's not like you have really guys who are coming in that are going to push you over the top, right? Like, you look at all these teams, like they're not close to Tampa. They have nobody close to Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak, McAvoy on the Bruins. Like, they're good, but like it's hard to really see, like, yeah, they're going to be this great team that gets over the top.
Did they trade for Palmieri and Zajac before the Bruins got Hall? Go back in your calendar. I got no clue here.
yeah, they did because Hall thought he was going to the Islanders, and then the Islanders pulled the trigger on Palmieri and Zajac because that's who I guess they wanted. I was texting yesterday. I was like, Palmieri, like, does he do anything? Like, he
did one big game.
Yeah, but like, he can score. But if you're not scoring, and I don't want to bring Matthews into this, but if you're not scoring and you're a goal scorer, then how are you affecting the game? And that's why goal scoring is so tough. Like, if you're not on your A game, then there isn't really a B game, or it's like an A game or a D game, if you want to call it that.
That just hits home right for the Oilers, right in the heart there. Okay, moving along. We talked enough. Do you got anything else to say about the Bolts and Canes series, about what you're looking forward to for that one?
No, I think it should be a great series. Like, they're two pretty evenly matched teams. Was David Savard a healthy scratch today?
I couldn't tell you.
He didn't play. I didn't hear.
Do you recognize him on a good night when you're watching the game? Well, for the most
they traded a one and a four for him, so he probably should. But no, I mean,
not as much as Luke Shen.
Tampa's in that spot though, where they're trading first round picks because they know that this is their window. Like, Blake Coleman and Goodrow won't be on their team next year. And, you know, Brayden Point's going to want go from like $6.5 million to $10 million because he's clearly their best player. So yeah. It's kind of Tampa's running. I mean, for Carolina, they need to kind of win a series here and start making a little more noise. Just, you know, they've had a couple of good regular seasons, but going to the second round of the playoffs.
It's got to be a kick in the pants for Calgary when, I mean, you've got Brayden Point and Jake Bean scoring the first goals. You got hometown products, and the Flames aren't going to sniff playoffs for the next while. I firmly believe that they won't. I just don't think they've got it in them. And that's a whole nother conversation for another time. But again,
maybe they'll get Seth Jones. We talked about that.
I was going to save that. That was in my NHL news for later. But, I mean, we can talk about Seth Jones. Screw it. Hey, there's no agenda on here. I'll throw my paper out the window. Seth Jones clearly wants out of Columbus, said he's not going to re-sign after next season. So he's going to test UFA if they don't trade him, essentially. Where do you think he goes? Because Caleb Jones wants out of Edmonton, in my opinion. In my honest opinion, with everyone I've talked to, Caleb Jones wants out of Edmonton. Do they want to play together? Because if so, Seattle, you're welcome. Here's a gift. I mean, it's too obvious, right? But I don't know. Yeah. Is he chasing a Stanley Cup? Is he chasing money? Is he just wanting to get the hell out of Ohio? I don't know.
Yeah. Anybody could use him, right? Like, and anybody could use him. And there's teams that, I don't know, like Calgary would make sense. Seattle, I think, makes the most sense just because they both played in Portland. If Seattle wants to take Caleb Jones from Edmonton, I don't think the Oilers are going to throw their arms up in the air and be sad about it.
I thought he was a free agent, no?
Who? No, he'll be restricted, so it's either.
Oh, right, yeah, he's young.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, for Seattle, this is the kind of franchise-starting move that you want to make. You saw Vegas do it with kind of like Thomas Tatar, and then they did Mark Stone, and then they did Pietrangelo and Pacioretty. So these are the kind of moves that you wanna do. And Seth Jones is a great player. He didn't have a great year, but there's people who are saying he's gonna win Norris 1 year. So the value of that, I'm not sure. You know, it's he's from. Like, I'm just trying to think of who needs right shot defensemen, honestly, but Calgary, Seattle.
Everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think
if you have a kid, you should only give him a right-handed hockey stick.
Yeah, you know, honestly.
You do that or you make him a left-handed pitcher. It's that simple. Okay, so there was a bunch of analytics people going off on Seth Jones, and you probably know more about this than me. I mean, just coming from the wise guy standpoint. Like, is he bad analytically? Because when I think of Seth Jones, I think of when he played like 64 minutes or whatever against Tampa Bay in the bubble. Like, that's the type of guy I want on my team. That's the type of guy I'm probably going to draft in the top five because I think he's unbelievable. Like, I don't know, man. I think Seth Jones is a number one D man on, you know, probably 28 teams in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's awesome. And analytics are a little weird because, I mean, like Shea Weber is apparently like the worst player in the world with analytics, but it's hard to say. Like, he's been the captain of two teams. Go in the corner with him. Like, if you're the analytics guy, go in the corner. And it's kind of funny too, because the team that seems to be like the analytics team is the New Jersey Devils. And like, I think the proof's kind of there. Like, it's,
are we sure their calculators are working if they're the analytics gold star here?
Like, if they're like, I mean, look, analytics works for some things, I'm sure. But
Moneyball?
Yeah. For Corsi and all that, of like, this guy is a great player because he has this Corsi and he has this zone time in possession, but he just can't score. So he's been unlucky. It's like, or maybe he's just not in the right spots. Like, you can do all you want, but eventually like the eye test is going to pass the analytics. And I mean, I'm sure Mitch Marner has great analytics his playoffs. That's based off no knowledge, but he hasn't been good. So there's some give and take there, but yeah, analytics. We'll have to do some kind of post-series mortems on like Pittsburgh and Florida and teams like that.
See, I was thinking about how much we wanted to dive into that, but I was like, hey, I called it. You know, Florida was overrated. Don't give me this whole effect, Vlad Sarah. It's a different series. It ain't. I mean, you're locked up in Bobrovsky. It ain't a different series. Edmonton, I mean,
Spencer Knight needs to start in the AHL next year. Like, just tell him go play in the AHL. Like, look, he's awesome, and for one game you might start him, but start in the AHL, play 60 games, do your thing. Like, don't lock him to Bobrovsky next year.
Okay, I got one quick thing because, hey, we butted heads with our good friend Alain Poupart, but like, dude, he had 4 turnovers in 2 games playing the puck. You can't tell me that Spencer Knight's an elite puck handling goaltender when you pull that in 2 games.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Am I seeing something wild, or is like he just like weirdly bad at playing the puck? It just wasn't good decision making.
I mean, that's a young goalie playing his like 10th career game.
And I was trying to think back. I'm like, was Carter Hart like that? Like, he probably was. We just didn't watch him as closely. I don't know. Hey, we move on. Let's talk some Bruins next. Hey, after the break here. Shuker Rates coming up. Boston sports personality. It's Cody Jans and Adam Ehrmantraut with you. We're World Hockey Report on 12 Ounce Sports. Now, I haven't decided exactly how much I would actually pay to go to a hockey game. But I can tell you for free, it's a lot of damn money. I could not. Oh, man. Imagine being in there for the Oilers and Jets. I know the Oilers got swept, but boy, that would have been phenomenal. Our next guest was actually at the games. Chuka Wright's coming on to you. Brought to you by Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. Weather's getting nicer. Need something to sip on while swinging the sticks, lighting up the barbecue, watching playoff hockey. Refreshingly different Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. New cans coming out here in Canada, and flavors are next. Enjoy the Coco life with us. High quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, go check it out. You will not be disappointed. It's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Cody Jans and Adam Ehrmantraut with you. Shuker Wright's Boston sports personality, our guest. Hey, you were at the Garden last night. It was buzzing. Hey, what was going on?
But good afternoon and good evening to wherever all of you may be watching or listening in Canada. And first and foremost, I want to say thank you for having me on the program. Secondly, I don't even think buzzing is the right word, because like the whole afternoon, once I got to the area by the Garden, like, because there is several bars and restaurants by the Garden, and every one of them was packed wall to wall, like no bars held, and when I tell you just the fans were absolutely just incredible. They were truly incredible. And even just the crowd being just lining up outside, waiting to be allowed into the arena. And then once we got inside, it was something that I had never seen before, which includes the Stanley Cup Finals. Like the atmosphere was truly indescribable. You talk about everything that we have gone through the last nearly 15 months now with this pandemic, and the raw emotions and just the emotional energy that was released, and that was very apparent with the Bruin fans inside TD Garden last night. It was apparent from when the Bruins came out onto the ice for warmups. It was truly, truly special. It was incredible to watch. I mean, you had fans literally lining up along the glass just to watch players like warm up on both ends of the rink, and it was just truly incredible. Now, when it came to like puck drop and all of the hoopla and a popping circumstance surrounding the game, it was, I don't think incredible does it justice. It was absolutely just incredible, just absolutely emotional, dare I say, especially when you talk about not having what you love for as long as we were without. It was truly a blessing in every sense to be at the first sporting event at TD Garden at full capacity since the beginning of the pandemic, which for the Boston Bruins was the first time since March 7th, 2020.
Yeah, awesome. And in Canada, we'll be experiencing that in 5 years. With the Bruins, they've been probably the best team in the last 10 years not to win a cup post their cup 2011, but different core with Tim Thomas and company. Is it kind of what the last year, maybe two years for this team to win the cup here?
I think it is. Because you think about the upcoming free agents that the Bruins have for this upcoming offseason, Tuukka Rask, David Krejci, and as well as the big decision in regards to Taylor Hall, this is it. We don't know what this roster is going to look like come October. And you talk about Tuukka Rask right now, who is still very much one of the premier goaltenders in the NHL right now. But we are also very aware that you have Jeremy Swayman that's waiting in the wings as well. So that's something that I think this Stanley Cup playoff run for the Boston Bruins is so important, because you already saw at the end of last offseason, going back to December, when you saw Zdeno Chara deciding to go sign with the Washington Capitals, much to the chagrin of Bruin fans and even some pundits here in the Boston sports media department. So I do also believe that the Bruins realize that they're at a point now, it's now or never. Taylor Hall extends the cup window, but you're talking about the core guys that have won the cup in 2011, the guys are beginning to dwindle. Like, this could very well be the last year that you have the remaining core together after Chara's departure.
And I got one more for you here, and it is a Tuukka Rask question. Obviously, you're around Boston media all the time. I mean, hey, they were ready to cut him. They wanted to trade him. They wanted to buy him out. They wanted nothing to do with Tuukka Rask anymore. And he's proven time and time again, he's one of the most consistent goaltenders in the NHL. I mean, how surprised are you that Tuukka Rask is still one of the top three goalies in the NHL this season after Boston media was ready to stick him in the press box?
I'm not surprised, honestly. I do think that the biggest point of contention for the Boston Bruins fans here in Boston is that, yeah, he's good, but he hasn't delivered the big one. And the big one is the Stanley Cup. Until he finally is able to deliver on the promise in which that Tim Thomas delivered on in 2011 during that historic Stanley Cup run, Tuukka Rask will never get the respect of the fan base, by and large part, of the Boston Bruins. And that's just being completely honest and to a fault, because the reality is that Tuukka Rask has been one of the top three or four goaltenders in the NHL consistently over the last 8 years. That's a fact. He's got two Stanley Cup Finals appearances, both resulting in losses. But I think any Bruin fan who still holds 2019 against him is a fool still, because you clearly forgot in that game seven that that wasn't a Tuukka problem. The team literally did not show up. There was no offense on the top line. Secondary scoring, forget about it. You couldn't buy water in the middle of the Sahara Desert if you wanted to in that game. And that's how bad it was. So I do believe that it's surprising, yet at the same time, not surprising. But for me personally, it's not surprising that people were ready to put Tuukka Rask on the training block. And in some cases, they're ready to say, hey, he struggled last game. Maybe we should put in Jeremy Swayman now. Now it's his time. So it's more of like first opportunity. If he slips up, let's put in Jeremy Swayman and bury Tuukka Rask. And I think Tuukka Rask is, quite frankly, using that as motivation during this playoff run.
Shuker, thank you so much for coming on. Keep enjoying the Bruins games. We're really jealous up here. Maybe it's their year. I mean, Colorado is just destroying Vegas right now, so it's hard to bet against them. But thanks for coming on. We'll have to do it again down the road.
Absolutely. My
hey, hey, give us a woo. Give us a woo. We got game two tomorrow. Let's go. Let's hear it and wrap it up.
All right, listen, Bruins, they have an opportunity to go up 2-0, but it won't be easy. The Islanders, they have been a resilient team all year. Now it's the Bruins' opportunity to really take hold of the series. So let's go, Bruins. Woo!
There it is. Shuker writes, buddy, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Shuker writes right there, Boston sports personality. I love those videos. Whenever he posts them, it always puts a smile on my face. Coming to you live for Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. Hey, we talked, a little bit about the Bruins earlier, but again, I mean, Pasta with an unbelievable game one. This team with added scoring depth, Adam, they're scary. They're a scary team that's going to push Tampa Bay next round.
Yeah, I mean, for the Bruins, like, they were always just every year they would like trade for somebody. It'd be like Lee Stefaniak or Andre Kasha last year. But now Taylor Hall, he's kind of in the next tier. And I mean, he basically controlled his way to Boston, which is within his right. So he makes them better. It just gives them another layer. Like, so you don't have to completely sell out on the Bergeron line, cause it gives them another layer. And I mean, David Krejci's an awesome player. Awesome. And he never really doesn't get the credit. But I've been really impressed by the Bruins defenders. Like Mike Riley's been awesome since he's got there. Jeremy Lauzon's been well. Obviously, Charlie McAvoy's great. But for the Bruins back end, depth to hold up has been really impressive.
Yeah, McAvoy has really impressed me in these playoffs. He's taken his game to the next level. If there's one guy who I can kind of look at and be like, wow, he's really grown up, it's Charlie McAvoy. I don't know. I really think that this is a Boston team where I go, could they win a cup? I don't see why not. I don't see why they couldn't. They can compete scoring-wise with Colorado, although Colorado is just looking like the Globetrotters out here. It's 6-1 right now. Sorry for listening to the podcast. It's old news for you. But holy, Vegas looks terrible. I see you tweeted out the picture of Fleury with the sword in his back. I would love to know what's going through Alan Walsh's head right now. I mean, is load management really what these guys want? Is it what they need in playoffs? Because if Vegas gets swept out of this round because they lost all confidence in this absolute shellacking, that falls on Peter DeBoer.
Yeah. And it fell on him last year too. Just, I tweeted this out also, before the best player in the world comes out again about, cause McKinnon, he's playing obviously great tonight. Look, the Oilers are terrible and Connor McDavid plays with like, I don't know, a guy.
Draisaitl and Puljujärvi. They're pretty good.
I mean, but for a lot of the year, he's playing with Dominic Cahoon and a guy who was in Finland last year, and Dominic Cahoon will probably be back there. But look, the Avs have so many good players. They're so much better than Edmonton. Like, they can go four lines deep without Kadri even, and he has Cale Makar passing him the puck. Like, you can't underestimate that. And I mean, the Avs, they pretty much, I don't say they have to win this year, but before Landeskog and Makar, whatever their extensions kick in or soon to be extensions kick in, then this is kind of their year.
I've got 2 points on this series. Remember when people tried to tell us that Quinn Hughes was better than Cale Makar?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
What a take. Also, the reason why Vegas is losing, it's those white gloves. They are the worst style in the league. The worst. It's gross. White gloves are disgusting. If your team has white gloves, you're setting yourself up to lose.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like that or the yellow helmets or gold helmets they tried bringing back. I mean,
Chrome. Look good, feel good, play good. We'll stick by that one. Hey, I did have a couple of Oilers questions for you that I did write down, and we are going to get to a couple more segments here before we wrap it up. But I want your thoughts. I mean, Tyson Barrie, is he back with the Oilers next year? Nope. Same with RNH?
I don't know. RNH, like, don't say he won't be back or that he's not worth $20 million a year, because Oilers fans will come at you and say that he penalty kills or something like that. And look, he had a bad year. Like, he had at one point late in the season, he had less even strength points than Jujhar Khaira. And like, he's a complimentary top six winger. That's not worth over $5.5 million. I mean, and for him, he's a Western Canadian, seems to like Edmonton, does a lot in the community there. Good for him, all that stuff. But you can't quantify paying him $7 million or what a team quite possibly could offer him because they're desperate. But, I mean, look, you say a guy's a good penalty killer, then go and sign a guy for 750 grand, you know? So, and quite frankly, the Oilers haven't won anything with him. They've won, what'd they win? 4, 5, 6, 7. They won 7 playoff games 4 years ago with him. And that's it. And he had 1 point those playoffs. So,
okay, just give me numbers. What would you give Adam Larson?
I'd go like 4x4, 3x4, around that number. He's honest. He was awesome this year. Like, I don't think you can really debate that.
Dave Tippett is 1-7, I believe, with this Oilers group. How much heat does he take, or how much responsibility should he get for winning one playoff game in their past 8 with 2 of the best players in the league?
He gets some, but I think this was a summer Edmonton kind of circle to really get things right. So I don't know what you could really blame him for, honestly, like his lines.
The game plan. He got outcoached by Paul Maurice.
I know, but like, everybody always says that, like, what is outcoaching? Like, he didn't call a timeout or something, but he had to play Devin Short like 18 minutes in the last game of the year when he was on the taxi squad half the year just because they had no depth. So.
Now, we could talk Oilers for days and days and days, but we got to get to our bet of the night here for mybookie.ag. Use promo code 120Z Sports, all caps, no spaces. Mybookie.ag, promo code 120Z Sports. I'm going to match your deposit up to 50%. Now, okay, we're just going to stick with the Leafs and Habs tomorrow night. You at first said Habs puck line. I mean, that's wild. Were you sticking with that one tomorrow night when you're laying money down?
Sure, why not?
I'll go Leafs money line. I feel like the money's fluctuating too much towards Montreal. Toronto's bound to win it. This is the year. They got Spezza, they got Foligno, they got Simmons, they got Thornton, they got some veteran kahunas in the dressing room. I think they're going to win it. What do you got for the show here to wrap up while we got 2 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, just to talk about some of the teams that are out. Minnesota, I think that they should give Kaprizov whatever he wants. He didn't have a great playoffs, but it's kind of his first playoffs, and you can't really say anything about that. He's going to get an 8-year deal at, I don't know, $8 million, $7 million. Like, he's going to get a lot of money from them. And, you know,
he doesn't get 8x8. He fires his like agent ASAP.
He's probably with that Dan Millenstein guy who represents every single European in the NHL. But not for Minnesota. I mean, kind of a shitty way to end, but for them, it's, you took Vegas to 7 games. You're down 3-1. You did a good job. I think there's a lot more excitement about the team than there was. So
hard to be less.
Yeah. Hard to be less. Just watching Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg's going to be tough to beat. Like, they're, the goals that Ehlers and Connor scored kind of back to back, like, they're, nobody's wingers could do that. I mean, Nylander could, playoff Marner probably couldn't, but they've got two guys there who are great, and Logan Stanley and Josh Morrissey were awesome against the Oilers, which I don't think I would expect it, especially on Stanley.
He was something else. He was something else. I'm going to leave it with this. I think the Oilers this offseason, you throw the bag at Philip Grubauer and you throw the bag at Jack Eichel. Come up with those guys and land on four depth guys for $1 million that'll actually deepen your roster. Let go of Nuge. Let go of Barry. Find a couple of difference makers. That's a different team once you buy out James Neal, Mikko Koskinen. Alrighty, everyone, don't forget, download the podcast presented by the Hockey Podcast Network, wherever you get it. Download, rate, subscribe. Always helps us out here. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Shout out to Pro Rock, Player Golf, Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, Quack Stats, everyone who makes this show possible. For Adam Bermichael, myself, Cody Jans, and our producer, James Sutherland, Jeff Beck over at 12 Ounce Sports. Until next week, everyone, be kind, be better.